Out in the wood was a fir tree, such a pretty little fir tree. It had a good place to grow in and all the air and sunshine it wanted, while all around it were a number of bigger comrades, both firs and pines. But the little fir tree was in such a passionate hurry to grow. It paid no heed to the warmth of the sun or the sweetness of the air, and it took no notice of the village children who went chattering along when they were out after strawberries or raspberries. Sometimes they came there with a whole jug full or had got strawberries threaded on a straw. And then they sat down by the little tree and said, "Oh, what a dear little tree." That was not at all the kind of thing the tree wanted to hear. The next year it had shot up a good deal, and the year after that its girth had grown even bigger. For with a fir tree, you can always tell how old it is by the number of rings it has. "Oh, if only I were a tall tree like the others," sighed the little fir. "The birds would come and nest in my branches, and whenever it was windy, I should be able to nod just as grandly as the others." When winter came, and the snow lay sparkling white all round, then a hare would often come bounding along and jump right over the little tree. Oh, how annoying that was. But two winters passed, and by the third winter, the tree had grown so tall that the hare had to run round it. Yes, grow, grow, become tall and old. That was much the finest thing in the world, thought the tree. In the autumn, the woodcutters always came and felled some of the tallest trees. And the young fir trembled at the sight, for the splendid great trees would crack and crash to the ground. Their branches were lopped off, and they looked all naked and spindly. They were hardly recognizable. And then they were loaded onto wagons and carted away by horses out of the woods. Where were they off to? What was in store for them? In the spring, when the swallow and the stork arrived, the tree asked them, "Do you know where they've gone, where they've been taken to? Have you seen anything of them?" The swallows knew nothing, but the stork looked thoughtful and replied with a nod, "Yes, I believe I know. I came across a lot of new ships as I flew here from Egypt. They had splendid masts. I dare say it was them. I could smell the fir, and they asked to be remembered to you. Oh, how straight they stood. Oh, how I wish that I could fly across the sea and that I were big enough to do that. And as a matter of fact, what sort of thing is this sea? What does it look like?" "That would take far too long to explain," said the stork, and went his way. "Rejoice in your youth," said the sunbeams. "Rejoice in your lusty growth and in the young life that is in you." And the wind kissed the tree and the dew wept tears over it. But this meant nothing to the fir tree. As Christmas drew near, quite young trees were cut down, trees that were often nothing like so big or old as our fir tree, who knew no peace and was always longing to get away. These young trees, and they were just the very handsomest ones, always kept their branches. They were laid on wagons and carted away by horses out of the wood. "Where are they off to?" asked the fir tree. They're no bigger than I am. There was even one that was much smaller. Why do they keep all their branches? Where are they going?" "We know, we know," twittered the sparrows. "We've been peeping in at the windows down in the town. We know where they're going. We looked in through the window panes and saw how the trees were planted in the middle of a cozy room and decorated with the loveliest things. Gilded apples, honey cakes, toys, and hundreds of candles." "And then?" asked the fir tree, quivering in every branch. "And then? What happens then?"
"Well, we didn't see any more, but it was magnificent."
"Oh, it must be even better than crossing the ocean," cried the tree in delight. "How I'm longing for Christmas. I'm now just as tall and spreading as the others who were taken away last year. Oh, if only I were already on the wagon. If only I were in the cozy room amidst all that glory and splendor. And then, yes, then there must be something still better, still more beautiful in store for me. Or why should they decorate me like that? Something much greater, much more splendid. But what? Oh, the laboring and longing I go through. I don't know myself what's the matter with me. Rejoice in me," said the air and the sunlight. "Rejoice in your lusty youth out here in the open." But the fir tree did nothing of the kind. It went on growing and growing. There it was, winter and summer, always green, dark green. And people who saw it remarked, "That's a pretty tree." And at Christmas time, it was the first to be felled. The axe cut deep, and the tree fell to the earth with a sigh, faint with pain, with no more thoughts of any happiness. It was so sad at parting from its home, from the place where it had grown up, for it knew that never again would it see those dear old friends, the little bushes and flowers that grew around, yes, and perhaps not even the birds.
Well, there was nothing pleasant about such a parting. The tree didn't come to itself till it was being unloaded in the yard with the other trees, and it heard a man say,
"Well, that one's a beauty. That's the one we'll have."
Now came two lackeys in full fig and carried the fir tree into a splendid great room. There were portraits all round on the walls, and by the big tile fireplace stood huge Chinese vases with lions on their lids. There were rocking chairs, silk-covered sofas, large tables piled with picture books, and toys worth hundreds of pounds, at least, so said the children. And the fir tree was propped up in a great firkin barrel filled with sand, though no one could see it was a barrel because it was draped round with green baize and was standing on a gay-coloured carpet. Oh, how the tree trembled. Whatever was going to happen? Servants and young ladies alike were soon busy decorating it. On the branches they hung the little nets that had been cut out of coloured paper, each net being filled with sweets. Gilded apples and walnuts hung down as if they were growing there, and over 100 red, blue and white candles were fastened to the branches. Dolls that looked just like living people, such as the tree had never seen before, hovered among the greenery, while right up at the very top they put a great star of gold tinsel. It was magnificent. You never saw anything like it. "Tonight," they all said, "tonight it's going to sparkle. You'll see." Oh, if only tonight were here, thought the tree. If only the candles were already lighted. What happens then, I wonder? Do trees come from the wood to look at me? Will the sparrows fly to the window panes? Shall I take root here and keep my decorations winter and summer? Well, well, a nice lot the fir tree knew. But it had got barkache from sheer longing. And barkache is just as bad for a tree as headache is for the rest of us. At last the candles were lighted. What a blaze! What magnificence! It made the tree tremble in every branch until one of the candles set fire to the greenery. Oh, didn't that smart? Oh, dear! Cried the young ladies and quickly put out the fire. It was so afraid of losing any of its finery and it felt quite dazed by all that magnificence. And then suddenly, both folding doors flew open and a flock of children came tearing in as if they were going to upset the whole tree. The other people, the older people, followed soberly behind. The little ones stood quite silent, but only for a moment. And then they made the air ring with their shouts of delight. They danced round the tree, and one present after another was pulled off. Whatever are they doing? Thought the tree. What's going to happen? The candles burnt right down to their branches, and as they did so, they were put out, and the children were allowed to plunder the tree. They rushed in at it till it creaked in every branch. If it hadn't been fastened to the ceiling by the top and the gold star, it would have tumbled right over. The children danced round with their splendid toys, and nobody looked at the tree except the old nurse, who went peering among the branches, though this was only to see if there wasn't some fig or apple that had been overlooked. "A story! Oh, tell us a story!" cried the children, dragging a little fat man over towards the tree. He sat down right under it. "For then we are in the greenwood," he said. "It will be so good for the tree to listen with you, but I'll only tell one story. Would you like the one about Hickory Dickory, or the one about Humpty Dumpty, who fell downstairs and yet came to the throne and married the princess?" "Oh, Hickory Dickory," cried some. "Oh, Humpty Dumpty," cried others, and there was such a yelling and shouting. Only the fir tree was quite silent and thought, "Well, shan't I be in it as well? Isn't there anything for me to do?" But of course, it had been in it. It had done just what it had to do. The little fat man told them the story of Humpty Dumpty, who fell downstairs and yet came to the throne and married the princess. And the children clapped their hands and called out, "Oh, tell us another story, one more." They wanted to have Hickory Dickory as well, but they only got the one about Humpty Dumpty. The fir tree stood there in silent thought. Never had the birds out in the wood told a story like that. "Humpty Dumpty fell downstairs and yet married the princess." Well, well, that's how they go on in the great world, thought the fir tree, and felt it must all be true because the storyteller was such a nice man. Well, who knows? Maybe I too shall fall downstairs and marry a princess. And it looked forward to being decked out again next day with candles and toys, tinsel and fruit. "I shan't tremble tomorrow," it thought. "I mean to enjoy my magnificence to the full. Tomorrow I shall again hear the story about Humpty Dumpty and perhaps the one about Hickory Dickory as well." And the tree stood the whole night in silent thought. The next morning, in came manservant and maid. "Now, all the doings will begin again," thought the tree. Instead, they hauled it out of the room, up the stairs, and into the attic, where they stowed it away in a dark corner out of the daylight. "Oh, what's the meaning of this?" wondered the tree. What is there for me to do here? What am I to listen to? And it leaned up against the wall and stood there, thinking and thinking. It had plenty of time for that, because days and nights went by. No one came up there, and when at last somebody did come, it was to put some big boxes away in the corner so that the tree was completely hidden. You might have thought it was utterly forgotten. It's winter by now outside, thought the tree. The ground will be hard and covered with snow. People wouldn't be able to plant me, so I expect they'll have to shelter me here till the spring. How considerate. How kind people are. If only it weren't so dark and so terribly lonely in here. There's not even a little hare. And it was so jolly in the wood when the snow was lying and the hare went bounding past. Yes, even when it jumped right over me. So I didn't like that at the time. Up here, it's too lonely for words. Beep, beep, squeaked a little mouse just then, creeping out on the floor. And another one followed it. They sniffed at the fir tree and slipped in and out of its branches. Oh, it's horribly cold, said the little mice. So this is actually a splendid place to be in, don't you think, old fir tree? I'm not a bit old, answered the fir tree. There are lots of people much older than I am. Where do you hail from? Asked the bison. And what do you know? They were being dreadfully inquisitive. Oh, do tell us about the loveliest place on earth. Have you ever been there? Have you been in the larder, where there are cheeses on the shelves and hams hanging from the ceiling, where you can dance on tallow candles and go in thin and come out fat? No, I don't know about the larder, said the tree, but I do know about the wood, when the sun shines and the birds sing. And then it told all about the days when it was young. The little mice had never heard anything like it before, and they listened closely and said, Why, what a lot you've seen. How happy you must have been. Aye, said the fir tree, and pondered over what it had just been saying. Yes, they were really very pleasant times. And then it went on to tell them about Christmas Eve, when it had been tricked out with candles and cakes. Oh, said the little mice, you have been a happy old fir tree. I'm not a bit old, repeated the tree. I've only this winter come from the wood. I'm just in my prime. My growth is only being checked for a little. Oh, what lovely stories you tell, said the little mice. And they ran back the following night with four more little mice who wanted to hear the tree tell stories. Then the fir tree told them the whole story of Humpty Dumpty. It could remember every word. And the little mice were ready to jump up to the top of the tree for sheer enjoyment. The night after, many more mice turned up, and on the Sunday, even two rats. But these declared that the tale was not at all amusing, which disappointed the little mice, because now they didn't think so much of it either. Was that the only story you know? Asked the rats. Only that one, replied the tree. I heard it on the happiest evening of my life. But I never realized then how happy I was. Well, it's a fearfully dull story. Don't you know any about pork and tallow candles? One about the larder? No, said the tree. Well, then, thank you for nothing, said the rats, and went home again. In the end, the little mice kept away as well, and the tree said with a sigh, It really was rather nice with them sitting round me, those eager little mice, listening to what I told them. And now that's over, too. Though I shall remember to enjoy myself when I'm taken out once more. But when would that happen? Well, it happened one morning when people came up and rummaged about the attic. The boxes were being moved, and the tree was dragged out. Life's beginning again for me, thought the tree. It could feel the fresh air, the first sunbeams, and now it was out in the courtyard. Everything happened so quickly that the tree quite forgot to look at itself. There was so much to see all around. The yard gave onto a garden where everything was in bloom. Oh, this is the life for me, it cried joyfully, spreading out its branches. Alas, the branches were all withered and yellow, and the tree lay in a corner among weeds and nettles. The gold paper star was still in its place at the top and glittered away in the bright sunshine. Playing in the courtyard itself were a few of the merry children who at Christmas time had danced round the tree and were so pleased with it. One of the smallest ran up and tore off the gold star. Well, look what I found still there on that nasty old Christmas tree, he said, trampling on the branches so that they crackled under his boots. And the tree looked at the fresh beauty of the flowers in the garden and then at itself. And it wished it had stayed in that dark corner up in the attic. It thought of the fresh days of its youth in the wood, of that merry Christmas Eve, and of the little mice who had listened with such delight to the story of Humpty Dumpty. All over, said the poor tree. If only I'd been happy while I could. All over.
And the man came and chopped up the tree into small pieces till there was quite a heap. It made a fine blaze under the big copper, and the tree groaned so loudly that every groan was like a little shot going off. This made the children who were playing run in and sit down before the fire. And as they looked into it, they shouted, bang! But at every pop, which was a deep groan, the tree thought of a summer's day in the wood, or of a winter's night out there when the stars were shining. It thought of Christmas Eve and of Humpty Dumpty, the only fairy tale it had ever heard and was able to tell. And by this time, the tree was burnt right up. The boys were playing in the yard, and the smallest of them had on his chest the gold star which had crowned the tree on its happiest evening. That was all over now, and it was all over with the tree. And it is with the story. That's what happens at last to every story. All over. All over.